The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and this edition of The Week in Comics. Lots to get to this week. We have Henry Cavill rumors. We have a Mark Ruffalo rumor. We have James Bond being delayed for a, well, I guess it's a ridiculous reason. We'll see. We have Stargirl news, listener comments, little conversation about Superman versus Zod. We'll revisit that one again. We talked about quite a few books this week. Strange Adventures, latest from Tom King, and Mercy Number One from Image Comics, plus a whole lot more. Let's head into the store. I can't wait. Hey, John, how are we doing?
I am doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Great to be back here at Arkham Comics and Games.
Always.
Second time this week. Here we go.
Yeah. How frequent flyer mile is racking.
Oh, yeah. Well, my arms are tired.
Boy, my arms tired.
Oh, how's your week been?
Can't complain.
Business picking up at all?
A little bit. It's been a little better the last 2 weeks or so.
Nice.
Today wasn't great, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it was a light week. For releases. I mean, there was a couple of good releases, but overall, there weren't a ton of books this week, so.
Right. Yeah, well, I thought there were actually more indie books this week than we've had in the past.
Yeah, there were more new things, but as far as just the regular staple books, there weren't as many.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I felt a little overwhelmed today in the store.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. Yeah. I don't know why. I was like, oh, what do I read? But I ended up reading a lot. But, it was a good day. It's been a good week.
Good.
What do we got for news? Anything? Anything exciting?
Nothing. Well, nothing exciting, really.
You're not selling the show, John.
Just some observations from things that I've read.
You got to sell it to our listeners.
I mean, they're already listening. They're already here. We got them already.
You're taking them for granted. Let's keep them listening.
Well, hey, I do what I can.
I think it's our witty banter.
That's what it is. I mean, they're not coming to me for like these things I can get off of Facebook because they can get all these things too.
I know. Let's talk about it.
But anyway.
What do you got?
So I thought that this Green Arrow and the Canary show was a done deal a long time ago. But apparently it's not. It's not guaranteed. It hasn't been picked up yet. So according to the, eventual showrunner, that they'll find out in May for sure whether it's going to get picked up and go to series or not.
Okay, quick question. What happens between now and May that changes anybody's mind? Something better comes along?
Well, I guess that's when they have to have the decisions made for next season, I guess. So, I guess it could happen any time between now and then, but...
I thought it was done, too.
Yeah, well, from everything we read last year, it seemed like it was a thing, but I guess the pilot from the second to the last episode of Arrow was really a pilot, and I guess they're going to see going forward. But again... It's already aired, so I don't know what further information they could need.
That's what I mean. Like, what happens between now and May?
They've already got all the info they're going to have.
Are they recounting the votes?
Or
you know what I mean?
You know, who knows what? It seems like they have unlimited hours for shows, but I mean, they do have a slate to fill. And it depends on if anything better comes along.
That's what I originally said. I'm like,
they didn't really go into detail, just that they would know for sure by May whether it was going to series or not.
All right, make a few phone calls, see if you can't lock something down by next week.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do. I'll call my contacts.
it's me.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. Looks like Mark Ruffalo has had preliminary talks with the Disney Plus folks to appear on the She-Hulk show. So that's pretty cool, because that's not something that we thought was going to happen originally.
Yeah. Didn't we hear that rumor a couple weeks ago? Maybe we didn't talk about it on air.
I don't remember seeing it. I know we didn't talk about it. But
I heard a rumor, but maybe we just heard the rumor, but now it sounds like it's more like it's not even a rumor. It's that they are actually talking.
Well,
a rumor. It's fact.
Right. He confirmed that there have been talks.
Okay.
You know, yeah, whether they go any further than that, I don't know. But, you know, I feel like, I guess his contract is technically done, because my thought was, if he's got a contract with Disney or Marvel, he just should do whatever they tell him to do. But
right.
I guess his contract is actually up since the Avengers since Endgame. So it's probably up to him. But, you know, a check's a check. I can't imagine he would turn it down. Hey, so everybody's panicking about this coronavirus. And looks like the first casualty is James Bond No Time to Die, which was slated to release in a couple of weeks.
It's a horrible title for the subject.
Yeah, right? I didn't even think about that.
There's no time to die.
Yeah. But it's been pushed off until November of 2020. So this movie is now going to sit for 7 months before we get to see it, which I can't imagine is great for MGM, who's already paid a boatload of money in advertising for this movie. But
do you think that's real?
Oh, I think it's real.
No, I mean, they're really backing it off, but do you think that's the real reason?
I definitely think so.
Really?
Because, yeah, why else would they? It's not like it's going up against any big competition that would scare it away. And I mean, they've spent a boatload of money promoting this movie since before the Super Bowl. I mean, this thing is on TV. Every other commercial is James Bond. So
yeah.
I just can't imagine why. And knowing other things that are being, you know, like there's conventions that are being canceled. Emerald City Comic Con looks like it's going to be canceled. Anime Con in Japan was canceled. San Diego Comic Con is actually, you know, a little bit up in the air right now. So people are taking this seriously. Now, I don't want to get into the whole debate on the coronavirus and whether we're overacting or not, but
I know we're a comic podcast, but
I think we are, but
that
doesn't really matter, but
the flu has taken more people.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
It's flu season. Cancel movies.
Right.
It's like, I mean, I don't know. But
that's what I'm saying. I don't want to get into all of that.
I had to get that off my chest.
The hysteria.
I'm like, come on.
But it's just crazy. Because what else? What's going to be next? You know, does Marvel move Black Widow? Do we move?
Another reason to get Disney Plus.
Yeah.
You can stay home.
Exactly.
Keep your virus to yourself.
Yeah. You know, do we move Wonder Woman, which would really aggravate me because they've already moved it basically a whole year.
I know.
Because it was supposed to come out last December.
Yeah.
So,
I
don't know. We'll see. It's just newsworthy. I mean, even James Bond really isn't technically newsworthy for our show, but
look,
it just,
this podcast is about two guys hanging out in a comic book store talking.
And
this
could
is
set
exactly
off,
what you and I would say. We'd be like, this is kind of crazy.
Like I said, and it could set off a chain reaction of other big movies, notably, you know, Black Widow would be the next big one for us. Hell, even Bloodshot comes out in a week and a half. So, but I think this is more due to the every movie has to do well globally to be successful, but James Bond is really more like, it's a European, like it does very well in England and those markets overseas, where I think it's being postponed not so much for the American audiences, but for the global audience. And we're just kind of the casualty of it. But for instance, something like Bloodshot probably isn't going to do like that great in the UK that they need to move, you know, they would need to move the release date of it. So I don't know that every movie is going to be affected, but then again, here stateside, where, you know, we have conventions and things that are like DC is pulled out of every convention between now and May. I think they announced they're not going to be anywhere. CGC pulled out of a couple of conventions. So even if the conventions want to go on, nobody's going to be at them. Like right. all the guests and the artists are all backing out of these things. So, you know, it's real here too, but, I guess we're going a lot on this. I'm going to end up start talking about how ridiculous it all is. So I just don't want to go there. So I'll jump to my last story. It looks like, and this is funny because I had a customer in my store today asking me this question and I didn't know the answer. And then literally an hour later, I saw this on Facebook. So it looks like we have the release date for Stargirl, which premieres on May 11th on DC Universe, which is a Monday, and then May 12th it premieres on CW.
Right.
So
commercial free 4K
commercial
UHD.
Free, yeah, on DC Universe.
DC Universe a day early.
Right.
I've said it many times. I hope a lot of stuff goes this direction. I hope they do a lot of CW shows like this.
The test subject. That's going to let us know how that's going to work out. And we could see more going forward. But now again, we know that the next big CW show is going to be Lois and Clark, and it's not going to follow that pattern. So we'll just have to see.
I mean, they very well could do the same thing.
Well, I guess they could, but I feel like we would know. Because, again, Stargirl was originally developed for DC Universe.
Right.
When we first started hearing about it, that's where it was going to be. And then it kind of morphed into a CW partnership, whereas Lois and Clark has always been a CW entity.
Well,
so,
yeah.
We'll have to see from there. And then I actually just thought of one more thing that I didn't have on my notes, but... We mentioned either last week or the week before how Netflix was wanting to go forward with a sixth season of Lucifer. And I did see today that Tom Ellis has agreed to a contract extension for a season six. So
awesome.
Doesn't look like anything's going to hold that up, even though they haven't officially announced it. At this point, if Netflix wants it and Tom Ellis has agreed, now there's more than... He's not the only cast member, so I guess there's still some other pieces. But the
That's
show could
kind
go
of the
on,
key one, though.
Right. The show could go on with just him. Like, you could rework everything else, but you couldn't have Lucifer without Tom Ellis.
Right.
You can have it without everybody else. But,
it's kind of the title character.
Right.
Minus the kinda. Yeah.
Now, you kind of want Chloe. You kind of want Chloe back.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, you could go on. So I feel like they're
we should be getting season 5 soon, no?
Yeah. Season 5 is coming soon. And now that was originally designed to be the last season, so we're probably going to get some kind of resolution and then we're going to get another season after that. So
just the fact that they're already planning a 6, I'm sure they wrote the ending to
Or they'll have time to tweet something just to go back and at least film some kind of cliffhanger. Because they probably really wrote it to end and not leave anything hanging. If that's because they thought it was going to be the end.
But right.
I feel like they have time to go back and just do some dailies and get it. Just film a cliffhanger or something. It shouldn't be that difficult to write in something. And if they don't. Doesn't matter. We can always come back with another season. So,
yeah.
That's all I have.
I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, me too. I really, well, you and I both, we've talked about it. We both love Lucifer. So,
yeah. All right. I got a few things. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention TJ, one of our loyal listeners, won his roller hockey championship on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
So that was exciting news.
Congratulations, TJ.
It went all the way to a shootout. TJ was the one that scored the game winner in the shootout. So he was very happy, very excited. He posted it on Instagram. My wife showed me the pictures. So
we've got celebrities of all levels listening to
Yes, we do. And speaking of celebrities, we have to endorse. I mean, this has got to be a weekly thing. We've got to endorse Dr. Joe, his Twitch page. Go watch him. It's a great, I don't even want to call it a viewing experience. There's nothing like it in the world. It's the most colorful viewing, listening, enjoyment you can have. That's the best way I can put it here on the Bright Side Chat.
Okay.
Go to his Twitch R-rated. Page. That is an understatement. Okay. Batcracker_Dr. Joe on the Twitch page, on Twitch. And it, it's amazing. It's so much fun. Like, I put it on, he's on Monday nights and Thursday nights, right? And on Thursday nights, I'm usually exhausted because I've been up doing this the night before. And I get to bed, he goes on at about 9, and we put it on the screen. I pull it up on my Apple TV. And many a nights, my wife and I have like been like trying to doze off, and we just like burst out laughing, like yeah. Laugh out at like his comments. And I can't mention any of them here. Go right. To the page. It's definitely worth listening to. And the reason we have to sponsor him and back him is we are now part of the Brightside Backcrackers.
Okay.
In the Indie Alley Nerdy Legion Baseball Fantasy Baseball League.
Oh, geez. What did you get me into?
That's just it. I just paid our fee.
Oh, jeez.
Dr. Joe's running it, and he titled his team the Brightside Backcrackers.
All right.
So our job for this week is done. He's going to run the team, and we reap the rewards.
There you go. All right.
So are you happy, like, John?
Yeah, I'm all about that. If I can be involved and not have to do anything at all, that's exactly.
Is that still
the kind
involved?
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of involvement I want to have. So
it was a tough negotiation back and forth between me and Dr. Joe, but yeah. We hammered out the agreements, and well, this is what we came up with.
I feel like you got me the best possible deal. So
I did. I worked. We slaved
tirelessly.
It was our agents. There was some language thrown about, but we all calmer heads prevailed, and we came to a good agreement. So we are part of the Nerdy Legion Fantasy Baseball League. We are the Brightside Backcrackers.
Sweet.
Yes. Very excited for that.
Don't draft Chris Sale.
I think that was our first pick.
Yeah. Oh, well, it looks like he's going to be out.
I don't know. All right, let's get back to some comic book stuff.
All right.
So I saw a tweet today about the Superman versus Zod. Did you see that tweet? Mm-mm. I think I retweeted it.
No.
So somebody tweeted a solution to that scene when he's about to kill the family, Zod, that is.
What are we talking about? In the movie, in the comic books?
Yeah,
in
Man of Steel.
Man of Steel, okay.
Yeah, and the reason I'm bringing it up is I think it's fun. It's like, it's one of those things that just sets people off, and you have both sides going at it of like, but he had to do it, but he didn't have to do it. And one of the reasons I made note of it today is I'm after, I don't know, you and I discussing it for a few years now, I'm like officially on your side.
Sweet.
I can't remember what it was.
Side I was on?
Do you remember what example you gave recent? It was a few months ago. It like completely swung. And it was right in the middle of the podcast. I was like, oh, no, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
And well, I should remember because it doesn't happen that often. But I don't remember.
I know. I don't mean I know you're never right. I mean,
yeah, no, I don't remember at all what we were talking about, but
I like
it. An impact on your decision making.
No, you did. It's like whatever it was something like, but the idea is you don't create that character when you're writing it. You just don't do, you create a situation because that's not Superman. That's not who he is.
Right.
And it was just funny. I just thought the tweet was funny and then reading all the comments and both sides are, you know, very passionate going back and forth.
Right.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have to check it out. I haven't seen it.
I'll retweet it again. And did you see the Henry Cavill as Wolverine rumor?
Well, I saw that rumor, and I saw that it was quickly debunked. So,
yeah.
Well, I don't know if I would actually like that. As much as I like Henry Cavill, I don't know if I would want to see him as Wolverine anyways.
Well, my first impression was I think he would be great, but they already went the large man
route. Well, that's what I mean. He's
I think they want to try and go to back to original.
Right. He, you know, now all of a sudden I can't remember the name of the guy that played Wolverine for
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. Yeah. He's too much Hugh Jackman. Like he's too tall. He's
exactly.
Too, yeah. It would really just be like what we already had. And
right. Hugh, that's exactly what I thought.
Right. Hugh Jackman was great, but he didn't really fit the mold of Wolverine. So yeah. I think,
literally, yeah.
I think Henry Cavill would be more of the same. I saw in some fan art today that showed him as Hercules for Marvel. And
yeah.
That I could see more. Like that I would like
to see. Of course.
But definitely, yeah. I think Wolverine is just too out of, you know, a little bit too
it's
out of
actually
character.
Too on the nose to what we already had.
Right.
I think. And unless they're trying to rejuvenate that exact same character.
Well,
and
then
like,
you get Hugh Jackman.
Right. Well, he's getting older.
Well, that's true.
But I mean, but all the stuff, anybody that was saying like Henry Cavill's too big, he's too tall, he's this, that, or the other thing. That's exactly what they said about Hugh Jackman.
Well, it
and
is.
And that worked out. So I don't think that is a negative except for the fact that we already had Hugh Jackman.
Right.
You know, so let's, I thought that they were going to try to actually do the smaller type, get right. back to the authentic Wolverine, but who knows? I thought it was a good rumor.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, ultimately I would watch it, you know, I mean, I think he would do a great job, but it's just not the direction I would like to see them go in.
Yeah.
You know, the next time they cast him. I would love to see Henry Cavill become part of the MCU, though, because it feels like Warner Brothers and DC have wiped their hands of him, and he's not necessarily opposed to coming back and playing a, you know, a superhero
Do
role.
I dare bring up the latest Snyder Cut rumors?
I'd rather you don't. But, but even still, that still doesn't get him more work. You know, regardless.
Well,
so.
The latest rumors are Warner Brothers is on board.
Oh,
and
to shoot
reshoots.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're like,
okay, they gave him $100,000 or something to go back and
but
finish it, and it's like,
you know what I think?
Why
that
would
is?
They do that?
I think that's like a Warner Brothers executive saying, "All right, let's shut Affleck up. Let's shut all of these actors up, and say, sure, we'll do it. Come on in for some reshoots.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind."
Freaking that's Affleck, what all of us. Affleck would be back in rehab. You know, right. Cavill would have to grow a mustache again. I mean, we just can't have all that nonsense going on. So,
but all the actors have been saying they want to release the Snyder Cut, right? So it's
right,
like,
but they don't want to do any. They don't want
okay,
right.
Let's do some reshoots.
They don't want to do any more work for it. They just
exactly.
want to have it
come
so out.
That's how you shut them up.
Yeah.
All right. That all you got?
I think so.
Alrighty, that was good. Alright, let's get into some comic books. So, what am I spending my money on this week?
Alright, well, it wouldn't be a Wednesday at a comic book shop lately if we didn't have a Batman book selling out before release day. So, hot on the heels of Batman 89 and Hell Arisen number 3, we had Batman number 90 came out today. So this will also sold out before release date. A second printing was announced 3 or 4 days ago by DC. This is the first full appearance of the designer, who had his cameo last issue in 89 as along with Punchline. And this is also supposed to be, and I haven't read this yet, so I don't know exactly, but the revelation of like Catwoman's secret, to Batman. So this thing is, you know, seeing some heat, not quite to the level of the last two issues, but still, you know, had some people looking for it. Both covers, A and B, are selling for about $25 a piece. And, you know, like I said, seems to be another hard book to get.
Did you read that one?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. Next on the list is Magnificent Miss Marvel, number 13. This is the first appearance of a character called Amulet. This is selling for about $10. this is a book that doesn't sell a lot of copies, so maybe a little bit harder to find in a lot of stores than Batman necessarily, but again, if you can find one, it might be worth picking up. And last but not least, we had Strange Academy issue number one. So this has a bunch of first appearances. Basically every character in the book that's part of the school, like the students in the book are all brand new characters. The ones that people seem to be most excited about is who I think is probably like the main character is Emily Bright. So it's not really jumped yet to where this is selling for anything above cover price, but it could. That being said, Marvel sent out a bunch of free overships with this, so like most stores probably have plenty of copies, and like even though I sold a bunch of these today, I have plenty left, so shouldn't be hard to pick up. This was a pretty fun read, though. I did get a chance to read it finally towards the end of the day, and I really had a good time with it. So,
oh, good.
Yeah,
maybe, I didn't actually read worth, that one. I didn't get a chance picking on that one.
Yeah, Scotty Young is the writer, and I like him. And then Umberto Ramos, I really like his artwork a lot. So this book had a lot going for it, and was pretty cool. Fun. So if you didn't get a chance to pick, I mean, we're not in the checkout section yet, but if you didn't get a chance to pick this up, I'd definitely go back and grab one because it was fun. And I know you're all about the fun these days, so this will be right up your alley. There's no data pages at all that you have to worry about.
Really?
Yeah.
Any pop-up pages? I like those.
Yeah, no pop-ups, though, but nothing sings at you or anything when you open it up. It's not like a Hallmark card, but still. Although it does have a nice pull-out poster in the middle talking about Empire, so that might keep you busy for a half hour.
Speaking
or so.
Of pull – well, we'll get into it in checkout. I'll ask you there.
Okay. And that's it as far as speculator books go for this week.
All right, let's get into back issue bonus.
All right, so there's only two books
here.
Was
that enthusiastic enough?
It was, yeah. Okay. More than my answer is going to be. so there's only two books here to look at this week.
John, Debbie Downer today. No. I got two.
the first one is X-Men number 4. This is from the Jim Lee X-Men series, and you know, from the 90s. This is the first appearance of Omega Red. So there's been a lot of rumors and even some images posted online that show Omega Red possibly appearing in the Falcon Winter Soldier show. So that's definitely the driving force for this book. Selling between $10 and $20, that's up from $4 or $5. I mean, there's, I don't know, a billion copies of this book out there. This was back when X-Men was selling crazy numbers, so it's not that hard to get, but you know, again, it's still seeing some movement here at $10 to $20. So we'll see what happens with that show, although again, I have seen pictures, images of Omega Red, so, and Omega Red hasn't appeared anywhere else, so I don't know where this picture could be from, if it's not Falcon Winter Soldier, so it's possible that it's the real deal, and that would be cool. And then second, we have Bang number one, the second printing. This is still seeing some interest. We talked about the first printing a couple weeks ago when it came out, you know, because it's been optioned already. So this is selling for between $15 and $20. So again, it's definitely worth picking up. It's actually going for a little bit more than the first print because there's probably a lot less of them out there.
Right.
But yeah, you know, we liked the book anyway, so it's definitely worth picking that up. And that's it as far as back issue bonus this week.
All right. Let's get into final order cutoff for Monday. What's that? The 9th?
Monday the 9th. Yes.
Yep.
All right, so the first book is from DC. This is probably going to be the hot one of the group. This is the Art Germ Batman number 92. This is the punchline variant cover. So this was the one that was moved from issue 94 up to issue 92. And this is a great looking cover.
The cover was moved or the story?
The cover was moved.
Oh,
because of the popularity of punchline.
Right.
Because she actually appears in this issue, so they moved the cover up two issues. And then Francesco Mattina is actually going to do a punchline cover for issue 94 now. So, but yeah, this is a great cover. And like I said, definitely should see some demand. It's already pre-selling like crazy on eBay.
Well, that'll be her first cover too.
That'll
right?
be her first cover. Yeah.
So
yeah,
the way these firsts are going, this is where this FOC stuff comes in handy.
It does. Now, again, this won't see the prices of like her actual first interior appearances.
Right.
Especially since now we have the heads up and these should be plentiful. Like, you really shouldn't have trouble getting these. I've got customers pre-ordering multiple copies of these, and I'm going to fill every one of them. So, but still, it's a good cover, and it will be her first cover. So, probably still worth picking up. Next, we have Justice League number 44. This has a Nicola Scott variant cover. And then from DC, we have Birds of Prey. This is a new series, issue number 1, and there's 2 covers for this. Okay, I'm sorry. I just stumbled there for a second.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's it.
I forgive you.
That's it from DC. from IDW, we have Star Wars Adventures, The Clone Wars. They're actually FOCing all 5 issues of this at once, which I absolutely think is the worst business practice possible. But this is going to be a weekly series. And I would say please commit to this if you want it, because, again, the retailers have to take a huge risk ordering all 5 issues at one time with no sales data. So if you want this book, definitely go in and tell your store that you want it, because I can't imagine there's going to be a lot of shelf copies of all of these, because, like I said, it's a big risk. And there are 2 covers available for each issue. So,
do you know anything about the story?
Not much. Actually, not really anything at all, other than that it's weekly. This is, the Star Wars Adventures is the series that's a little bit more kid-based, the one that IDW is doing. It's more cartoonish in art style, and I don't read this one. But I don't know what the storyline is as far as the, this Clone Wars miniseries goes.
Right.
So that's it from IDW and my little soapbox on weekly issues.
No, but that's good, because not even just for you, but for all comic book stores.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a tough one for everybody, and that's good information, I think.
And, you know, again, this is similar. Now, this isn't going to sell anywhere near what House of X and Powers of X did, but just kind of remember the fiasco that we had with those because of all the issues we had to order blindly. You know, because this is the case where whatever we order of issue 1, we're going to order the same number of copies of 2 through 5. And if we overguess, we're going to get stuck with a bunch. And if we underguess, we're not going to have any of them for the entire 5 issues. So, it's just one of those things where, like I said, if you think you're going to want this, just tell your store that you want it so they can cover your orders.
Right.
All right. So from Image, we have Ludocrats, issue number 1. This is going to be a 5-issue series with 2 covers. And Nailbiter Returns, issue number 1, and there's only 1 cover there. So, and I couldn't tell if this was a one-shot or not. There wasn't really any information saying one way or the other. But Nailbiter is a returning series. Nailbiter ran for a long time as a series for Image. So, so if you like Nailbiter, I would definitely grab this. From Marvel, we have Black Cat, issue number 11, has a Greg Land variant cover. And Deadpool, number 5, has a Mirka Andolfo variant cover. I also like this Black Cat cover quite a bit.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then new series from Marvel, we have Black Widow, issue number 1. We have Empire, Avengers, and Empire Fantastic Four. Both of these are issue 0, and they seem to be one-shots tying into the Empire event. We have Star Wars Dr. Aphra, issue number 1. This is a returning series. The last one ended about a year ago. And Taskmaster, issue number 1 of 5. All of these books have multiple cover options.
Cool.
From Dynamite, we have Red Sonja, issue number 15. There's a really cool James Lindsner variant cover. Archie Comics has Sabrina Something Wicked, number 1 of 5 issues with multiple covers. And from Oni Press, we have Rogue Planet, number 1 with 2 covers. And that's it for FOC that I really stumbled through tonight for some reason, but we'll get through it. You would think I haven't done this a million times before,
I know.
But like, okay. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm just
at one point I thought like internet went out. I was like, did he freeze?
Nope. I just kind of
literally froze.
Yep. So
that's funny. That's all right.
You know, just to show the listeners that this is all live and not pre-recorded or rehearsed.
No. So. Oh God, no. We're still rehearsing. We're waiting for that good show.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Let's get into checkout, okay? So what'd you want to start with this week? It's up to you. Potpourri.
Potpourri. Well, I'll just start with my number one. So the first book I read is Dryad, issue number 1. This is from Oni Press. Written by Curtis Wiebe, I think it's pronounced, with art by Justin Osterling. So Curtis Wiebe, he stopped now, but he was writing Rat Queens for Image Comics for quite a while. And this book had a very similar feel to that. So for anybody that was a fan of Rat Queens, this book should be right up your alley. But this is basically a Dungeons and Dragons type of story setting that this takes place in. Although it felt like it had kind of a modern flair to it, which I couldn't really... They never really went into any kind of description on like what year, like the time frame, or even what the level of technology is. And the only reason why I say that is because the main character, whose name is Yale, is wearing glasses, which, you know, is more of a modern invention. But you know, but everything else was set in a fantasy world. You know, there was elves and, you know, all the stuff you would expect to see from Dungeons and Dragons. So it's a little bit weird, and we don't actually know, and that might be part of the mystery that is going to unfold as we go along. But like all that being said, like I said, this is basically a Dungeons and Dragons type of story. And it wasn't like, there was nothing super original about it. I hate to say, as much as I liked Rat Queens, this kind of felt like I was just reading another version of that. And, the characters were fine. The art was good, but there was nothing groundbreaking with this book that stands out to me that I would say, like, you have to go out and pick it up. If you like Dungeons and Dragons and you like that type of stuff, this is a fine read. But like, I can't endorse it and say like you have to go get this, because there wasn't anything super special about it. So that's it for Dryad number 1.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, started off slow. We'll pick up from here.
We'll pick up from there.
Yeah.
All right. I read, did you see that Outer Darkness Chew number 1 came out today?
I did. Yeah.
Have you read Chew?
No, I haven't read Chew. So I know a little bit about it, but I never read it. So
it's really good.
Kind of keep me away from this in a sense, because I don't know the story. So I don't know
but
if you
that's
need
what's,
to.
No, well, that's what's kind of cool about the story. So what I liked about, like, I know Chew. I don't know Outer Darkness. And that's the John Layman's newest version, new book. Like, he hasn't written Chew in a while.
Yeah.
And so Dr. Joe actually turned me on to Chew. And he actually let me borrow all his books.
Okay.
And I'm about halfway through. It's, you know, it's like once you start reading, now I'm on to something else. But now I want to go back to it. But I saw this on the rack today and I was like, oh man. I'm like, I'm like, all right, this is really good. I want to get into this. I don't know if I necessarily want to get into Outer Darkness, but I love the Chew tie-in. And this is basically it's a Chew, almost like an homage wrap up to the Chew. It doesn't mean they actually say it in the, at the end, the little write up. This isn't the last thing we'll see about Chew, but it's the final story, because this story actually takes place in the future.
Oh, okay.
And that's the Outer Darkness part. So I don't know, if you don't know who Chu is, he's this detective that if he eats something, he knows, like say he takes a bite of an apple, right? And then he'll know what pesticides were on the tree, what tree that came from. He knows the history of the tree. But if he takes a bite of a person, he knows everything about them too. Right. So, I mean, this entire world, it's a bananas world. And in this story here, and then one of the things like Dr. Joe was saying is look in the background. The art in this is so much fun because in the background, they'll have little signs and they'll be like, they are all little jokes. And so there's humor all over the place. The stories are really fun. And it's actually very intriguing. And this one here, Outer Darkness 2, I'm familiar with the Chu world, so I was fine getting into it. And if you're not familiar with the Chu world or the Outer Darkness world, this will introduce you to both. It gives you enough backstory that you'll know enough. And I think it'll actually make you pick up the other books too. One or the other, but I definitely recommend the Chu. Chu is really good. But yeah, I would definitely check this out, the number one. And it's just fun. It's just a really, really good read. And all the Chu books are really so.
Cool. Yeah, it's a very popular series. I sell tons of the graphic novels. And yeah. There's like 12 of them. I mean, I don't remember exactly, but there's quite a few volumes of it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. They say in here it's like 1,500 pages of comics for Chu. Yeah. So yeah, it's quite a bit. And yeah, it's fun. It's a detective story too. So there's intrigue and mystery and fun stuff going on. But so yeah, definitely recommend that.
Yeah, it's been on my list for a while, but again, it's just one of those things that it's hard to pick up a series that long. And
well, that's the thing. You know, it's
devote the time to it.
Yeah, Dr. Joe recommended to me, and one of the times we met up, he's like, here, and he hands me a stack of books. Right. How are those coming? Oof. Yeah. It's like I'm trying to read every week, too. But yeah, it's like I'm definitely going to get back into that. You can pick up a book, and you'll do it in a day if you just sit down to do that. But yeah, the writer, like I said, is John Layman, but the artist, back with the same team, Rob Gilroy and Afu Chan. I think his name. Yeah, that's Afu Chan. So they're all the same people that did Chu. They're back for this.
Right.
And it's like, it's really, really good.
Cool.
All right. What this second one you got here, I haven't read either.
Yeah. So second book I have is Join the Future, issue number one. This is from Aftershock Comics. It's written by Zach Kaplan. It had art by Peter Kowalski. So Zach Kaplan also wrote Lost City Explorers for Aftershock Comics, which I really liked a lot also. So I was interested in picking this up. So this book is set, you know, sometime in the future. It looks like around 2055, but it also could be 2155. You know, the date's always written out like, you know, 3355. So you don't know exactly what the 55 is, but you know it's in the future. So it starts out where, there's all these mega cities that, people are being invited to come and live in. And basically your whole life is funded for you. You know, you get free housing, you know, like they give you a house and then you go in there and you choose how you want it decorated and like everything's 3D printed for you. So like you get, you know, everything exactly the way you want it. You know, you get free healthcare, you get, you know, income stipends. Basically, your whole life is funded for you to live like this perfect life to where you can be free to just improve yourself. You know, kind of like Star Trek, you know, is set up in the future. And, you know, it looks great. Like, you know, it starts off with basically like an advertisement from one of these cities, you know, telling you what you get if you come live there. And everything looks great. And they don't ask anything of you to live there. They just want you to live there. And then flash forward a few pages later, and you find a bunch of people that are living, it looks like in the Old West almost. Like they're out there kind of in a broken down city. hunting for food. And it turns out, like, they're the resistors. Like, they're the ones that are trying not to go live in this big futuristic city. So they're kind of like Amish. Like, they're, you know, rebuking technology and trying to live off the land and all of this. But then you find out that these cities are not quite as benevolent as they appear to be, because they are, like, basically sending raiders. Like, they're trying to get rid of all these people that don't want to live in their cities. You know, sending raiding parties out. They're actually sending animals out to hunt down and kill the food supply, and basically trying to make life miserable for these people and make them sell out their cities and join this, you know, join their big mega cities. So, you know, it's only been one issue, so you don't really know what the end game is here.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's too, you know, it seems too good to be true, right? Like, you know, how, why do you get this perfect existence and not have to give anything up for it? And what is the motivation of these cities to want to, you know, level out, you know, basically force everybody to go live there? So, you don't know what's going on, but it, I really like the writing. The art was great. I liked the art a lot. And this book I really enjoyed. I thought it was really well done. I liked the characters, and I really had fun with this. Like, I closed this book thinking I can't wait to read the next one. And I know I've done that a lot, and a lot of times I don't actually get to the next one.
Yeah.
But with this one, it is one that I'm going to make an effort to continue to read for a while, because I thought it was really cool. I like the concept of it a lot.
Yeah, there are books that you're like, oh, I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah.
But you don't seek it out.
Right.
But then there are books that you're like, you call up and go, well, you have the store, but I'll be like, put me on that list. I need to get that second one.
Well, right. But since a lot of times what happens with these books is I'll order the first issue and I'll really like it and I'll read it, but then nobody really buys it, so I stop ordering it. And I don't get number 2 and 3. So I stop reading it because I don't have them coming into the store. And I hope this isn't like one of those books, because I didn't sell a single copy of this today. But I really liked it. And I'm going to try to push it a little bit now that I've had a chance to read it. But it was a lot of fun. So I definitely recommend going to the store and giving this one a try, because it was different. And it was, like I said, it was pretty good. So.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. You sound excited about it.
I liked it.
Cool. All right. My next one is Mercy, number one. Mm-hmm. Mirka and Andolfo's Mercy from Image Comics, written by Mirka Andolfo.
Yep.
Art by Mirka Andolfo.
Yep. Completely her art by,
yep. Cover art by Art Germ.
Yeah. Well, he was one of three.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's cover art. Did you read this too, right?
I read it. And I read it again today. So I've actually read it twice now. Yeah.
Oh, so you liked it?
I liked it. I liked it when I read it a few weeks ago, and I figured that it was going to come up today. So
nice.
I made an effort to read it again, and I liked it.
I like the story. It's a deep story.
It is.
It's not fun, I should say. You know, it's not like the type that I think is fun. It's not a mindless fun story. It's a very deep story. I thought the art was really good.
Yeah.
I thought the art reflected the story a lot. And how would you describe this story, though?
Well, it's a horror story, for sure.
It's spoiler free.
Well, you know, it's set in the Old West, so it's 1800s, I guess. It might even say a year, but I don't remember. But it's definitely set, you know, in the 1800s. So it starts out, I don't know, spoiler free, how to explain it either.
It starts out, like, I don't even want to say slow, but it starts out with a very good development of the characters.
Yes.
Then it ramps up. About 80% into the book, it ramps up really fast into a very adult book.
Yes.
And I don't want to say that that's why you should get it, but it's a very good payoff. It's a good story. Again, another one that I think I want to follow the second book.
Yeah, and you don't realize it's a horror book until the last page, really.
That's kind of freaky a little before that.
Not so much. I don't know. Like, it's more, you know, it's kind of a revenge story a little bit going up to the end, because it focuses on, you know, I can't remember names now, but, you know, the lady from the town whose husband died in the mine collapse or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, she's kind of on, like, a bit of a revenge mission. And then you find out that the other character who's traveling to the town has a little bit more going on with her. So,
yeah. It's a good story. That's all I can say. I recommend it. It's different. It's just, I thought it was very original.
Yeah. Well, and again, I'm a fan anyways of Mirka Andolfo. I've read, the other series that she's written. So I was kind of looking forward to this anyways, because I like her work. And, yeah, this was, like I said, I read it twice, and I really enjoyed it. So, I think this is going to be a good series.
Cool. All right. That was good. All right. And the last one we read as well.
Yeah. King of Nowhere, issue number 1 of 5. This is from Boom Studios. It's written by W. Maxwell Prince, and it had art by Tyler Jenkins. This is one that I had intended to read anyways, but then I got a text from you saying read King of Nowhere because it's crazy.
It said banana. It is.
Oh, bananas. Yeah. And it is.
Bananas.
Yeah. This is like one of those books where you have no idea really what's going on. You know, you have this character who's like a drunk, kind of seems like he's in trouble a lot kind of character, who thinks he's thinks he's dreaming.
Right.
He's in this really psychedelic dream world talking to fish, and, you know, there's dudes with like 6 arms and all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And then you kind of come to realize as it's going, like, we kind of, as the readers, know all along that it's not a dream, but he doesn't.
I didn't know.
I honestly, because he just kept saying it was a dream. So I was like, well, this can't be a dream. It's got to be real.
Right.
It is a comic book. You find out that, yeah, it's not a dream at all. He's like in this crazy world that he just wakes up in, and you have no idea why. Like, you don't know how he got there, why any of this is happening. But like you said, yeah, it's just kind of a bananas first issue. All kinds of crazy stuff is going on. And yeah, it was fun. Another one of those books that I have no idea really where it's going or even what it's about. But it was fun. It was fun to read, you know?
Exactly. It was a blast to read. And it's funny. I had already read it, and Dr. Joe tweeted about it. He picked it up and put it down because he didn't like the art. And if you look at the art like that, like if you just pick it up and put it down, I agree with you. If you just picked it up and be like, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
But this is another one that I think the art fits the story.
Well, it fits the story almost because it seemed like he was in like this LSD acid trip.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the art does kind of work. But now that you know he's not in an LSD acid trip, like, I don't know if I'm going to love the art going forward through the whole series.
But that's his perception either of things, though. So maybe he isn't. I mean, it's like there are lines in this. Like, I started reading this story and I was like, are we going to find out, like, are we going to get another book that's going to be cleaner drawn and we see the reality of those lines? Cause he's like, this guy, like, you know, for instance, there's a guy that they say has 6, he's heavily armed.
Right.
Or whatever. Right. So what if in the next book, it's like he was imagining the multiple arms when the guy just comes in with like packing 2 6-shooters. I don't know.
I don't think so, I mean? Only because the artist, Tyler Jenkins, I've read other things that he's done, and I haven't liked his artwork in those books. Yeah. Like, he did Black Badge, which I read all of, and I didn't like his art there. So I agree with Dr. Joe in a sense, because the art probably would have turned me off also, but it did kind of fit at least the first issue of this book.
Right.
That's what
I mean. It's like, I see if you don't like that art. I get it. I don't necessarily not like it. I kind of like watercolors like that. I mean, that's a hard thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hard way to paint for one. And I thought it looked, there were some panels that I thought looked really good. I just liked the way with the I want to say it was done with ink, but most of that looks like it's brush strokes, yeah. Even the blacks, you know, like it's one thing to do pen and ink and then watercolor. It's another thing to paint in black, you know, and do it. So I looked at that a little differently, but if you like the art or not like the art, that's fine. But I do think the art goes with the story, especially as I'm reading along and how bananas this thing is. And you're like, and some of the art even looks bananas and you're like, maybe that's why they picked that artist.
Well, you know? Maybe. Yeah.
It's like, I need something to match what I'm writing here. So but I thought it was a fun story.
Yeah, definitely.
So, did you get a chance to read anything else?
I read, I mentioned up at the top of the show that I read Strange Academy. Really liked that. Scotty Young and Umberto Ramos. So pretty solid team there. And for those that don't know, it's basically like Doctor Strange meets Harry Potter. You know, they've opened a school for magic users in the Marvel Universe, which has never been one before. And this is the inaugural class of students for this book. So I didn't remember what you said. You didn't get a chance to read this, right?
I haven't finished it. No, okay. I got the gist of that. I read like the first few pages. Okay. I haven't finished it though.
Yeah. Like I said, it was super fun. I like some of the characters that they introduced. You know, you've got, children of Asgard, you've got children of demons and devils, and like there's a weird eclectic mix of characters in this book. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to read, you know, because obviously they don't all get along. Like there's Asgardian kids and there's like a frost giant student. So, they're traditionally not friends. So it looks like it's going to be fun. I read Strange Adventures.
Yes, I'd read that as well. That's what I was just going to mention.
Mitch Gerards. I mentioned that a few weeks ago anyway. So I really like this book. It's very Tom King. I mean, it's like you could tell right away.
Miracle Man.
That it's his style of writing. And this is the same team, the same art and writing team from Miracle Man. Or Mr. Miracle, rather.
Yes.
You know, and again, another off. Like Adam Strange is not like your typical A-list character. So Tom King seems to, you know, hone in on these kind of, you know, C or D-list characters and try to do something interesting with them. And like I said, this book seems interesting. It's a 12-issue miniseries, or I guess a maxi series. It has a twist halfway through the issue where, you know, Adam Strange kind of starts out and he's like the hero of his story, and then by the end of it, you don't really know if he's the hero or not. So I feel like
that's the basis of this book. It's like you're supposed to be getting both sides of it. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
Some nice cameos.
Yep.
Very interesting cameo at the end.
Yes.
Which I thought was really cool. That was a fun turn of the page right there. I really, really like this story, and this one I put on my poll list too. So this is one I'm definitely going to keep up with.
This one is a little underrated this week too as far as sales go. Like I didn't have as many people picking this up as I thought, you know, there would be based on, you know, the team, but I think it'll pick up traction as it goes, because it's just definitely a good story.
Yeah, well, how did Mr. Miracle do when it started?
Well, it...
When he did that. Because it has the same feel.
It has
this
the same feel.
This one actually seems a little bit more action-y at the beat, a little bit. Yeah. But it's the same type of... It's a heavy story. It's very dialogue-based.
I mean, Mr. Miracle wasn't a huge seller, but, I mean, it performed pretty well. And like I said, I think this will pick up steam, you know, as people come in throughout the week and just pick it up off the rack. But I didn't have a lot of subscribers in advance for this one. So a lot of it's going to have to come, you know, through hand selling and talking to people about it.
Yeah.
So, yep.
All right. Did you get a chance to read Daredevil 19?
No. That was really all I got to today.
Page Turner.
Yeah.
Absolute Page Turner. That's what I was going to mention earlier. So, like, when you what book did you talk about earlier that had, like, the pull-out poster in the middle?
Oh, The Strange Academy.
Yeah, okay. So in the middle of this, there's like 3 pages of ads.
Yeah.
But it's like perfectly placed where you're, well, not perfectly placed if you want anybody to read those ads, because it's like you go from the last thing you read, you turn the page, you're like, ad, get me out of here. I need to see what happens next. And you're just like, oh my God, another page of ads? Come on, get me out of here. I need to see what happens next. Yeah. It's really, really good. If you've been reading along with this Daredevil, and this book here actually made me think to go back and start at one again, just to see the difference in the development of the character.
Yeah.
Because this one here, you'll see.
Okay.
It's just been such a good run.
Yeah. Like I said, this is always one of my first books to read, each week, but I had a lot going on today at the store. I talked to you earlier, I had a movie to watch and a bunch of stuff to read. And, so I didn't get a chance to read this, but I'll definitely get to it soon.
And you didn't read Batman 90.
No, like I said, I did, other than basically what we've talked about is all I got a chance to read.
So, all right. I read,
I finished Lock and Key though as well.
Oh yeah. How'd that go?
Yeah.
I didn't get I meant to buy another couple books today when I was back at the store and I forgot. Because I bought so much other stuff, but how was it?
Well, I will say that now having finished Lock and Key, now there are there's like 3 separate one shots that I haven't read yet, but they're like more prequel things, so I don't think they're going to impact the story at all. So what I'll say is after finishing it that I am a bit more disappointed with the TV show than I was before. Because there is so much cool stuff that got left out. Now, again, any of this could be fodder for season 2 of the show, but it would be out of time. Like, it would be out of sync with the story.
But it's already taken place.
Right. Because as I said when we talked about Lock and Key, all the books basically – are the story from season 1 of the show on Netflix. So there's nothing new they could introduce from season 2 that happened in these books, but these were really good. Like they're really good reads and much better than the show. When you get to the end of it, but and all that being like, I still liked the show. It didn't flip me.
Yeah, you're still entertained when you watch the show.
Yeah, it didn't change my opinion of it necessarily. It just makes me a little bit more disappointed that some of this stuff wasn't included and really could have been fleshed out. Like, again, we were talking about how I didn't think that, each one of these books could have been a season of the show, but there was the last couple of volumes got a bit deeper, and they definitely could have expanded a lot more stuff that
So in summary, I think skip the show, read the books.
Yeah.
You say watch the show first, then read the books.
Yeah, because if you've read all the books first, the show's really going to let you down. I think just because you're going to know so much more. If you do it like I did it, I still like the show, but the books were a ton better. Like they were really just I think that's the order to do it in if you have a choice, is to watch it and then go back and read the books. But definitely worth the read. And again, even knowing I knew the story of the season, so I kind of knew how everything was going to play out, but it didn't really matter. It was different enough, and there was enough new stuff in there that even though I kind of knew where we were getting to at the end, it didn't bother me at all. Like, I still really enjoyed reading all of it, so it was a lot of fun.
Cool.
I think you'll like it. Like, if you liked that first volume, you'll definitely like the books.
It's such a fun read, too. It's a good time to those books go pretty quick.
They do. Like, I finished – I think it was 6 volumes overall. I finished basically the last one and a half last night, because they're not definitely not super hard to read, and they, you know, they don't take a ton of time to read, but
yeah,
but yeah, definitely worthwhile. I highly recommend it.
All right. That good?
Yeah.
You want to wrap up?
I think so.
All right. Let's wrap up from there. Let us know what you read this week. You can tweet at us at brightside_chat. You can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Go to the Nerdy Legion. Check out all the great podcasts at nerdylegion.com. And you can subscribe to all the podcasts there. You can, if you're on iTunes, please rate, review, and subscribe. And don't forget, you can support the podcast by going to tpublic.com, search The Bright Side Chat, quite the original name.
Yeah.
And you'll see all our great merchandise for sale there.
You will.
And that will greatly help the help support the podcast. And you'll look cool doing it.
That's right.
Jeez, look at me.
You're a real salesman.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Now people would just listen.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it. What are we? Oh, we're doing Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Yes.
Year four?
Year four.
Is that what it's?
Well, I hope so, because that's the one I watched today. So.
All right. That's what we have coming up on Monday with a special guest.
Oh, can't wait.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to The Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to The Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.